الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد، عن أبي عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: بني الإسلام على خمس: شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله، وإقام الصلاة، وإيتاء الزكاة، وحج البيت، وصوم رمضان. رواه البخاري ومسلم. Respected elders, brothers in Islam, quite often we hear from the ulama-i kiram, we read in books about Islam, in fact we sometimes hear from non-Muslims as well. We hear that this idea and this notion that Islam is built upon five pillars, that there are five basic foundations of Islam, and these five pillars are the Shahada, the testimony that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last messenger, to perform Salah, to give Zakah, to fast in the month of Ramadan, and if a person is financially capable, to perform the Hajj at least once in a lifetime. This is something we often hear, the five pillars of Islam. This idea or this notion that there are five pillars of Islam is derived from this hadith that I have just read to you. The words of the hadith exactly are Buniyal Islamu ala khamsin, and the literal translation of this is that Islam is built upon five. So by virtue of the word used, buniya, it has been built upon, it gives us this idea that these are the foundations of Islam. These are the actual pillars of Islam. Shahada, as we know, is the testimony that there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to accept Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the last messenger. The next pillar is that of Salah. Salah, we all know, is a very important pillar of Islam. Time and time again, we are reminded in the Holy Quran to be punctual in our prayers. In fact, the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, went to the extent to say that the way to identify a Muslim from a non-Muslim is not by his outward appearance or what he is wearing, whether he has a beard or not, whether he has Islamic dress code on. If you want to identify a Muslim from a non-Muslim, then see which one performs Salah. Salah is the identifying criteria between a kafir and a Muslim. No other criteria is offered here by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we have Zakah. Zakah is the very small amount of money that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to give from our earnings. Sometimes we hear people translate the word zakah into English as Islamic tax. They use the word tax or Muslim tax. And to some extent this word is very misleading. Zakah is not a tax. Tax is a very derogative word, very negative word. And it is wrong to associate zakah with such an idea. And when we look at the word itself, zakah in Arabic, Zakah is the root word of the verb zakka yuzakki. In Arabic, this word means to purify. Zakah, literally, if you look in the dictionary, you will find that the literal meaning of zakah is to purify something. So what the ulama ikram say is that when a person gives zakah, he gives that small percentage. For instance, if he has £100 and he gives £2.50 in zakah, what that £2.50 does, it purifies the remaining of his wealth. It cleans it. And that is the whole purpose behind zakah. It is a means by purifying your existing wealth, as well as helping the poor and needy. Then we have sawm. Sawm literally means to refrain. And we know sawm to mean in Islam to refrain from food and drink in the month of Ramadan. And finally we have hajj. Hajj is the pilgrimage that a Muslim is asked to make at least once in their lifetime. When we look at these five pillars of Islam, if we just focus for one moment what the nature of each one is. The nature of the first pillar, Shahada, it relates to Aqidah. It relates to our belief, doctrines, you could say. So if you were to describe it in a word, we would say that the Shahada is really about Aqidah. Salah is the physical and spiritual worship that we perform. Zakah is a financial worship. Sawm, to fast in the month of Ramadan, this is a physical and a spiritual worship. We must remember, of course, we associate fasting with refraining from food and drink, but we must remind ourselves that the Prophet ﷺ time and time again said that if you think fasting is just about keeping yourself hungry and thirsty, then you have misunderstood the whole purpose of Sawm. Sawm is much more important, that is much more universal than that. It is a feeling within a person, it's a disposition within them. Try to encourage them to adhere to piety. And Hajj is, you could say, a combination of all of those factors. It is a financial form of worship, it is a very physical form of worship, and it is a very spiritual and uplifting form of worship as well. These five pillars have been mentioned here. You might have heard some people talk about the sixth pillar of Islam being that of jihad, fighting or struggling in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the commentary of Sahih al-Bukhari, Ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi clearly mentions and points out that in most narrations there is no mention of jihad as the sixth pillar of Islam. And he gives a reason for that as well. He says, لَمْ يَذْكُرِ الْجِهَادَ لِأَنَّهُ فَرْضٌ كِفَايَةٌ. Jihad has not been mentioned by the Prophet as one of the five pillars of Islam because firstly, jihad is farz-e-kifaya. Farz-e-kifaya means that it is obligatory, but it is a collective responsibility. If one person or a group of people in a community do it, then it is sufficient on behalf of everyone. As opposed to farz-e-ayn, which is an obligatory act which is compulsory upon us all. The second reason Ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi gives is that وَلَا يَتَعَيَّنُ إِلَّا فِي بَعْدِ الْأَحْوَالِ. Jihad is only compulsory in certain circumstances. It is not compulsory all of the time. Here we are obviously talking about the physical jihad. You might have, one is under the impression at the moment that the extremist Muslims who claim that their actions are part of jihad, we see that they are fighting continuously in times of war, in times of peace, and they're saying that we are continuously fighting jihad. To them, we must remind them that jihad is only compulsory in wartime. Otherwise, the Prophet ﷺ went for a very prolonged period in Makkah Sharif where he was not given permission to fight physically against the non-Muslims. So we must remember that jihad is not a perpetual war. We see today that the Americans, to a large extent, they have declared a long-going, ongoing war against terrorism. And basically we get the impression that this is everlasting. It will always be there. That is not the case in Islam. There is no such notion, there is no such idea that we are always in a state of jihad. As for the other meaning of jihad, the personal struggle within you to fight your own desires, to fight the desires of the shaitan, then that is obviously ongoing and something we must perform at all times. Having talked about each of the pillars of Islam, one thing I will mention is that this Hadith Sharif itself has not been just mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim Sharif. We find this same Hadith in Tirmizi, in Nisa'i, in the works of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. And the Hadith that I read to you, it describes the order of the five pillars, and it talks firstly about the Kalima, then Salah, then it talks about Zakah. Then in this narration it mentions Hajj first, and then it mentions fasting. There are some narrations, for instance in Imam Ahmad's work, where fasting is mentioned first, by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Hajj is mentioned last. And likewise there's a narration as such in the works of Imam Tirmizi. But of all the different narrations we find in the books of Ahadith, we find and we see that in all of them, regardless of who narrated the Hadith, regardless of the exact order, all of the Ahadith mention the Shahada first. All the narrations we hear from the Prophet, in every single one of these Ahadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned the Shahada first, then he mentioned Salah, then he mentioned Zakah, and then sometimes he mentioned Sawm first, sometimes he mentioned Hajj first. Why is this important? What this is showing is that in Islam, Aqeedah first and foremost is most important. A'mal is secondary importance. If you have the right Aqeedah, then your A'mal are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you can, a person for instance can read Salah day and night, he can be in a continuous state of fast, he can give Sadqah day and night as well, but if he has the wrong Aqeedah, if he does not have the right beliefs about Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then quite simply his actions will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the indirect teaching of this hadith, that first and foremost is Aqeedah. First and foremost is your exact belief about Allah and His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If this Aqeedah is not correct, if this Aqeedah is not the same as the Sahaba-i Kiram, then all the A'mal you can perform in whichever field, in the field of Sadqah, in the field of fasting, in performing Salah, it does not count for anything. What is the other proof for this? There are other proofs for this as well. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time and time again in the Holy Quran, when He refers to the mu'minun, to the believers, time and time again we see in the Quran it says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Indeed, those people who believe then perform good actions. Nowhere in the Quran do we see that when Allah is addressing us, He says that those people who perform good actions and have belief. Time and time again, we see that belief is mentioned first, then the a'mal. Meaning, what you must rectify first and ensure that it is correct is your aqidah first. Then comes the a'mal. Time and time again in the Holy Quran, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that, Ya ayyuha allazeena amanu. Oh, those people who have believed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the order to perform salah, to give zakah, all of these orders. Again, it shows that aqidah is very, very important for us Muslims. Further proof of that is the fact that we look in the history of Islam, there have been certain characters, certain beings who had a'mal, who had good actions, but they did not have aqidah. And because of that, because they did not have the right belief, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ignored their a'mal. And a classic example of that is Shaitan himself. Shaitan himself, we know from what the Mufassirin have written in the commentary of the Quran, that there was a time when Shaitan was the most pious of beings in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels. In fact, Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi mentions in Tafsir Jalalain that there was a time where Iblis was actually given the title of Abid, the great worshipper. He worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for thousands of years. He was actually himself, the physical makeup of Shaitan was a jinn. He was not an angel. But because he was in the company of the angels for so long, and because he used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for such long periods, he was considered as amongst the angels. In fact, we sometimes hear that, again from the Mufassirin, that Iblis himself was considered as the teacher of the angels. So he had a'mal, but did this count for anything? The one thing missing from Iblis was that aqidah. He did not have that pure belief. And specifically, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to bow down to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he refused to do so. he did not have belief in Risala. He did not have belief in the prophecy which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to Adam, and that Khalifa, that Khilafat that he had been given by him. So he had much amal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say to him that, yes, I will accept that you had your amal, and so I will reward you to some extent. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Shaitan that you are cursed until the day of judgment. All the amal for the thousands of years that you have performed prior to this count for nothing now. It does not mean a thing. So this itself is a great indication that without aqeedah, without the right beliefs about Allah and His beloved messenger, our amal do not count for too much. And we see that even in this day and age, we see that there are countless people in the world, non-Muslims, who do perform good actions. How many people do we see, non-Muslims, who help the disabled, who help the poor and needy, who are philanthropists, who give thousands and millions of pounds in charity and try to be good to humanity? But their reward is limited to this world only, simply because they do not have belief, they do not have aqeedah in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that whoever wants the goodness of this world, then he will get the reward for it. If someone does good in this world, he will get the reward for it. But it will be only in this world. And in the akhirat, he will be left with nothing. So there are plenty of people in this world today who do have good amal, who are very kind to their relatives, as Islam teaches. They are kind to their parents, they show respect to them, they give charitable donations, but it does not count for anything. And in fact, from the Holy Quran, we know that the mushrikeen in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah Sharif, they had a form of salah as well. They used to perform a type of salah. They in fact used to go on the pilgrimage as well. But that did not count for anything in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because they did not have the right beliefs. So the lesson is to conclude that sometimes in this day and age as well, we may see people who outwardly look very pious, who have the right clothes on, have the right appearance to suggest that they are good Muslims. And outwardly again, they may seem like practicing Muslims. And they might tell us to perform salah, to do all of these things. But this is a small reminder that we should ensure that these people, if we are to follow them, that they have the right aqidah. Not everyone who talks about salah, who talks about jihad, who talks about fighting the non-Muslims, who talks about the place in paradise, is necessarily guided. You have to have the right aqidah for that. So this hadith is indirectly teaching us that ensure that your aqidah is right, then your amal will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not to say that you can just have aqidah, you can have belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and expect that to get you to Jannah. You obviously have to have amal as well. You obviously have to have good actions. But the only criteria for the acceptance of our actions is the right aqidah and the right belief about Allah and His beloved messenger. Otherwise, we see that those people who follow, for instance, Ahmad Qadiani, they perhaps perform salah as well. They perhaps go to the pilgrimage, or they give sadaqah and all of these other things as well. But for us, they are not even considered Muslims. For us, we find it embarrassing that others, non-Muslims, categorize them as Muslims just like us. For us, that is a great insult, to consider the Qadianis as Muslims like ourselves. And the only reason why we do not accept that is because their aqidah is wrong. Because their belief about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is perverted, it is wrong. They do not accept our beloved messenger as the last messenger. And for us, that makes them no better than the Christians. Because there are plenty of Christians who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. But the only problem with them is that they do not believe in Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as far as we are concerned, the Qadianis are no better than the Christians. If you do not accept our Prophet as the last Prophet, then you are not a Muslim as taught by the beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the guidance to understand and act upon the pillars of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a source of intercession for us on the Day of Judgment.
Ameen.
Wa ma alayna illa al-balaghu al-mubeen. Ameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wal aqibatu lil-muttaqeen wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Allahumma rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Rabbi ij'alni muqim as-salati wa min zurriyati rabbana wa taqabbal du'a. Rabbana ighfir li wa li walidayya wa lil mu'mineena yawma yaqumul hisab. Allahumma a'inna ala tilawatil qur'ani wa zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدين والدنيا والآخرة. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.